come to give God some praise tonight?
good to be here in the house. We give honor today to the host pastors who celebrate with them their fifth anniversary as well as the promise that God has laid upon their hearts. Amen. I'm going to ask that Pastor Campbell and Sister Campbell stand so we can celebrate you all. Amen. And God bless. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for them, what they're doing here in Detroit, New York. How the Lord is blessing them, blessing this great church, and blessing this great people. And we give honor to our honorable Bishop Hayes and Evangelist Hayes. And we thank God for being in their presence. And we thank you for that seminar lesson. And I told the saints, one of my topics has changed. We're going to preach about that very soon. Amen. Because I don't want to be a scaredy cat pastor. Amen. You got ready to preach the tough messages. Amen. We thank God for that message, that seminar this morning. It was a powerful message. We give honor to some of my good friends, Pastor Gilmore, Pastor Williams. God bless you all. All the clergy, our worship team. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for our worship team. Instrument. Amen. Praise the vessel of honor. We give honor today unto the New Jerusalem Church and all of our saints who are here. Thank God that you all are here. Amen. Can we say amen for them? Now, this Bible study night, we're not having Bible study, so they should be here. But I still thank God that they are here. Amen. Amen. You should always be in church when your church is open. Amen. Thank God for a quiet church. Should be in church if your church is open, unless the service does not pertain to you. Amen. It's an auxiliary service or something that's different. But if your church is open and your name is on part of that roll, if your name is on the roll, you ought to be in the roll. Amen. If your name is on the roll, then you ought to be in the roll. We give honor and thank God for my wife, Dr. Harper. Now let's give a hand pray for those musicians. Yeah. Sometimes musicians go underappreciated in the church, but I love music. And I love music. I come to a service where they can hit some music and they got me. And I love the word most. So obsessed with the heat that we lose out on our blessing. And man, I don't know y'all, when I was growing up, I played football, I played baseball, I ran track, and not one a day that I ever leave the sport because it was too hot. So I'm saying, I ran a 400 sprint, 51 seconds, that was pretty good back then. Got on the track and I ran anyhow. So somebody, you need to run anyhow. Y'all heard what I said? Somebody need to run up in here anyhow. Somebody need to chase after the Lord, irrespective of how hot it is, because He has been good to you. He has blessed you. He has healed you. He has delivered you. He has saved you. He has brought you out. He has made a way for you. He did something for you nobody else could do. Mama could. know after this.
Thank you. might have a few of my handouts up. I'm not going, if you don't mind, I'm not going to offend you if I don't read from the theme tonight, am I? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But y'all know the theme is breakthrough. And on your program, if you look at 1 Chronicles 11 and 18, and the three break through the host of the Philistines. Amen. So don't anybody go on my side, I didn't read from the theme. But now let's go to Matthew. Matthew 17, verse 14. I feel good. I don't know about y'all. I feel a Shekinah glory coming over the place. Amen. And the Bible says that when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. And my sister Matthew talked about vexation this morning. And for all the times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Now I'm going to stop there. I'm going to read where I want to get my text in. Because I know some of y'all came just for the text. And my text is, it's not personal. But I've got to do what I've got to do in order to experience my breakthrough. Now let me tell you again, it's not personal. But I've got to do what I've got to do to experience my breakthrough. Now the underlying point is, I don't believe you can experience a breakthrough without making somebody mad. I don't believe you can experience a breakthrough without somebody getting mad. Without somebody getting mad with you, without somebody being a little disappointed about your shift.
All right.
See, because I like you sitting right there, Pastor Kim. But if you shift over there, that's going to mess me up. But to get your breakthrough, you have to shift over there. You got to change seats. Y'all know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to change seats. Even if the people who are sitting by you were holding your hand and they feel comfortable you there, God might where other people are comfortable. He wants you where you are comfortable. It's not personal. Sometimes you got to tell people this is not personal. Right? I said this morning in the seminar, God wants unity, but he never wants unity to the point where you can't get your breakthrough. He wants you to work with other people, but he don't want you working with other people who are slowing you down. See what I'm saying? If you're moving at a certain pace, then you got to keep at that pace. Now, other people may come along, but some people have to grab your coattail.
Yes.
But don't fall back, because if you fall back, they won't be able to move ahead.
Amen.
See, there's too many people in the church. We do everything in concert. God is not about concert. Somebody said, oh, yeah, God is about you. Yeah, he is about unity. He's about connection, but you gotta have something to connect to.
Right.
Hey, see what I'm saying? You gotta have somebody who's on fire so the rest of us can catch on fire.
Yeah.
If nobody is in fire, the church is in trouble. If everybody's in the back, there's nobody in the front. If everybody's on the outside, there's nobody on the inside. If everybody's at the bottom, there's nobody at the top.
Yeah.
So somebody gotta say, it's not personal. Without upsetting what is normal. That includes relationships. See, there's too many of us, I'm going to finish that story here. There's too many of us, we get so comfortable with relationships. And you know how it is, oh, I got this little friend, and we're all buddy-buddy, and I don't want to mess anything up. God is all about messing stuff up. He's all about shifting stuff. He's all about moving stuff. He's all about me organizing and him coming tearing up what I just organized. God is all about tearing up the place. to make the plans because he loves dedication. He loves commitment. He loves faithfulness. But he also wants me to understand, after I make the plan, he's going to come and tear up the plan I made up. But he doesn't want you not to plan. He just wants to understand all you're doing is planning for him to unplan. Now let's read the story. So the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation." Sometimes you gotta ask your friends this. See, that's what I like about Jesus. He wasn't scared to get people mad. How long, my good disciples, shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now, what are we learning here, saints? In order sometimes to get your breakthrough, you've got to fast and pray for somebody else's breakthrough. I'm a big believer in you can't help people if you're too close to them. You can't help people when you become too familiar with them and they become too familiar with you. In other words, you have absolved the relationship of what is needed to experience breakthrough. Sometimes God sends us to people to be their mentor, to be their helper, and instead we become their friend. Friendship does not necessarily bring about breakthrough. Jesus never became a friend to the disciples. He hung around them. He called them a friend, but they always understood when he talks, we listen. Who you're supposed to be helping, they won't know when to shut up. Let me say that again. Some of you, God has put you in a position where you're supposed to be helping the people you have buddied up with. And now you wonder why they won't listen to you, because you got too close to them. You can't get close to everybody who you're supposed to help. You got to keep enough distance so that the relationship stays professional. See, Jesus was all about professionalism. He got close to the disciples. Matter of fact, the Bible, John said in his book, because he liked himself, that I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. But Jesus never said he was the disciple whom I love. Jesus said, you know what I love? I love the one who obeys me. So I said, Jesus always put things back on the way that it should be. We got to learn how, when you're trying to get a breakthrough to help somebody else get their breakthrough, you've got to keep the relationship in such a way, maintain the relationship in such a way that you can always be in a position to help them. Because familiarity breeds contempt. Amen. So Jesus never let his disciples become familiar. Now I want to take you to Psalms 35. Please, my technology expert. Now I want to show you what David does. Right, because some of us, now here's what I find, I'm talking about enemies for a while. Folks always get quiet when you talk about enemies. Here's the thing I love about talking about enemies in the church, right? We're all saved, yet we all have enemies, and all our enemies are in the church. Isn't that amazing? Everybody's saved.
Yes.
We all have been back to all got the whole of all living holy.
Yes.
Yet so many people in the church have enemies, and the enemies are in the church.
Come on now, what'd you say?
Right?
What'd you say?
Isn't that something? How can you produce so many enemies from so many saved folks? Isn't that amazing? Y'all know I'm talking the truth. That's what y'all think. Y'all think about y'all enemies right now. But I'm going to show you how to get a breakthrough. See, you can't obsess over your enemy if you want a breakthrough. So David, now y'all know David. David was obsessed with his enemies. If you read Psalms, David almost couldn't write without talking about his enemies. He was obsessed with his enemies. Right? And so what he said in Psalms 35, beginning at verse 12, he said, "They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. so. In other words, David was so upset, sometimes he couldn't sleep. Lord, thank God for a good night's rest. Amen. If you can't sleep because you're an enemy, then you need to hear this scripture. But David said, but as for me, when they were sick, I said, when my enemy was sick, here's what he did. He said, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own foot. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, the way you can get your breakthrough is to pray and fast for your enemy.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder, has anybody in here ever prayed and fasted for your enemy? So David said, even though they were trying to kill me, when I saw him needing something, I prayed and fasted for him. I didn't talk about him. I didn't text about him. I didn't Facebook about him. I didn't Twitter about him. I didn't Nook about him. I didn't Reader. I didn't iPad. I didn't iMini. I prayed for them. I fasted for them. And praying for them and fasted for them, I got my breakthrough. See, if you want your breakthrough over your enemy, you've got to pray and fast for them. I know that's rebirth. Somebody said, I've never heard of that before. That's why the Lord got you here tonight. That's why you're here tonight, because the Lord is trying to do something new in your life. He's trying to change some of the stuff that's going on that's bothering you so much. See, people ought not bother you more than God bothers you. Let me say that again. Somebody said, when do you see me coming? I got him on my mind. Right? Now, if you got your enemy on your mind, then you don't have Jesus on your mind. So God wants to get you to a point where Jesus is on your mind and your enemy is not on your mind. And when you start praying and fasting for your enemy, they're going to leave your mind and you're going to go higher in the Lord. There's a higher place. There's a higher level. There's a breakthrough for you. But again, I'm fascinated at how many enemies exist in the church. Isn't that amazing? But we deal with a bunch of saints. Everybody in here not going to heaven, don't raise your hand. Everybody in the church is going to heaven, but we got so many enemies. Thank God for holiness. All right. We talk about breakthrough, aren't we? And we're talking about it's not what? It's not personal. Now, Daniel doesn't, I'm going to come back to Daniel at the end because some of y'all are already asleep. And that's a long chapter, so I'm going to come back to my family now. Let's go to Luke 2. Luke 2. Some of us don't spend enough time in church to get a breakthrough. Now I know we're going to get somebody wrong. This is the first time y'all heard me preach. Y'all ought to know I don't care if people get mad at me. I just tell the truth. Right? Some of us don't spend enough time in church to get our breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't get your breakthrough watching the Oprah Network. Now, Oprah, because she doesn't get any ratings with the white folks, and no offense to the white folks, she done went black. Right, she never went black her whole life, but she needed that channel, so she done went black now. And we are not even better system than watching. Now the problem is, she gonna bring to us a bunch of junk.
All right, right.
She not gonna bring anything to edify us. And if y'all some Oprah lovers, I apologize in advance.
That's all right. I don't watch.
She not gonna bring anything to build me up.
I don't watch it. Preach on it.
She not gonna build anything that's gonna make me feel better as a man. She not gonna do anything to make me feel better as a husband. She not gonna do anything to make the wives in their home act better. She just needs money. She needs ratings. Yeah. Or they're going to throw that network off a cable and put it on distant cable. Y'all know what distant cable is. That's when you channel 1,600. And people can't find your network anymore. Now, that's a strategy that she has engaged in. Right? Because she understands that there are people. Now, so somebody said, what about Tyler Perry?
But we will give him a ton of pen. I know he's not gonna mess with my Tyler Perry.
I'm not gonna mess with your Tyler Perry, but I know nothing about Tyler Perry. I've never watched one of his shows. But I will say this, if you're not edified by watching shows, you ought not be watching the shows.
Right.
If you're not a better Christian after you've been watching the shows, then why are you watching the shows?
Right.
If it doesn't help you talk better, if it doesn't help you live right, if it doesn't help you live holy, if it doesn't help you treat your wife better, if it doesn't help you treat your husband better, if it doesn't help you act right in the church, if it doesn't help you obey your pastor, then it's probably not good for you to be watching.
Right.
When you want your breakthrough, you've got to spend more time in church and less time with television.
Right.
As I said at Monticello on Sunday, we now have a new age generation. See, when I was growing up, as I said, in January, I could tell you in June on a Thursday night, that's when we had Bible study, where I was going to be. And because in January, in June, I could already tell you where I'm going to be. In the new age, people come home from work. They beat me up today. What's tonight? Oh, it's Bible study. All right, give me an hour. I'll let you know if I'm going. I can't get a breakthrough deciding an hour before Bible class whether I'm going to Bible study. My breakthrough comes in being faithful, dedicated, and committed. I'm going to Bible study every week, unless something calls me away from Bible study. When I can get to prayer, I'm going to prayer because I need my breakthrough. I'm not making decisions based on what's on the TV. I'm not making decisions based on my family. Myself, your family, God bless them. Hey, I'm going to church. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't make your decision of church based on anybody but you, because you need the breakthrough. When you get the breakthrough, you'll help your family. When you get the breakthrough, you'll help your neighborhood. When you get the breakthrough, you'll help your community. See, we're letting too many people who we can help influence our decisions. Let me say that again. If you're the man of the house, you gotta make the right decisions. Because at the end of the day, the Lord blesses your house based on you. So if I come home and ask my wife, are you going to church tonight? We in trouble. She didn't get no question from me. So I'm saying, the man gotta say, we're going to church tonight. Now she might beg, I'm going to church tonight. See, because God will bless the home if the man is in order. And then the family starts struggling. The folks saying, the children crying, wife crying. Well, sometimes the other way y'all gonna stop crying, y'all gotta let the man in the house be the man. At all. I want y'all to understand that. I believe in women being successful. I believe that women can be at the top of the ladder and not at the bottom of the ladder. But I believe we have to understand that as a man, I can control the blessing that goes upon my house. If you're a woman and you have children, you control the blessing that goes on your house. And when you commit yourself to serve the Lord and you put God first, as I said this morning, most of us, we want God to be number one in theory.
Right.
However, I want to be God's number one. How many of y'all prayed this morning you want God to answer the prayer? Right. How many of you walked around today and you wanted God to be with you? Right. So I want God to think I'm the apple of his eye, anybody the apple of God's eye. If I want him to look at me as the apple of my eye, his eye, then he's got to be the apple of my eye.
Yeah.
See, same priority he is in our lives. So what if God came home? Right? So, I see Fred Gilmore prayed today. Okay, let me see where I rank with him. And then that's the way God answers us.
Yes.
We might be in trouble. Right? If God answered us the way we answered him, we might be in trouble.
Amen. Amen.
Right? If he put us in the same priority listing that we put him, some of us, we would never get our prayers answered. Thank God for a quiet church. I'm going to wake y'all up in a moment. In a moment. Amen. So the Bible says, Anna, in Luke 2 and 36, did you get there for me? The Bible says, she lived with her husband 7 years of her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the what? Temple. Now, why did she not depart from the temple? Because she wanted to see Jesus. Yeah. She wanted her, for her, her breakthrough was seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
See, the reason why I come to church, am I saved? Yes. Have I been in church a long time? Yes. Do I still need the word? I need it every day. Yeah. See, I'm not one of those folks who, I don't believe I'm going to heaven yet. I believe I need some more word to get to heaven. See, I don't believe I'm going to heaven yet. I believe every time I come to church, it gets me a little bit closer to heaven. And I get weaker water, sometimes my knees get wobbly, and I need to walk in and somebody can touch hands and say, get him up, Lord. See, so the way I look at church is different than the way a lot of people, I look at church as that's the only thing that can keep me safe. I need church. See, I need church. Church is not an option for me. Church is not an alternative for me. I need church in order to be saved. Can't be saved without going to church. Some of y'all are strong. Some of y'all got Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I only got Holy Ghost. So I need church in order to be saved. If I don't go to church, I won't be saved. I believe that. Now, I'm going to show you this last story. I may get back to Daniel. I may just leave y'all alone. All right. Now, I want to show you that when you get a breakthrough, it involves shifts, it involves loss, it involves hurt, it involves pain, it involves broken relationships. All the stuff us human beings never like to talk about.
Amen.
We never like to talk about that stuff. Because we like to think that somehow, if we serve the Lord, everything is just going to be like a Disney fairy tale. Salvation is not about Disney, and Disney is not about salvation.
Come on, come on.
Right? Disney has to make up characters. God is. You know what I'm saying? God is. We didn't have to make up anything.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to show you. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts 15. And I'm going to show you all these different things that happened for each person to get these breakthroughs. Now these are all the apostles, right? But they all need a different breakthrough, right? Every saint, even though we're in the same body of Christ, even though you're in the same church, you need a different breakthrough than other people who are in your church. You need a different breakthrough than us because your experiences are being different, so God has to give you something different.
Amen.
See, what God needs and has for you is different than what he has for me because what we've been through has been different.
Amen.
So the Bible says, Acts in 15, beginning at verse 30, the Bible says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And this is after one of their meetings and councils. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after that, they tarried there a space. They were let go in peace from the brethren. Now, what does that mean? That means that here, Judas and Silas are gone bye-bye. Now remember, these are all apostles, but Judas and Silas said, we got to go because God has something for us to do. See, you can't stay with people when God has has something for you to do different than for them to do.
All right.
So let me say that again. In the house of God, the Lord has given us many gifts and many talents and many abilities, right? But sometimes there are certain people who the Lord has equipped in a special, unique way. Right. So Bishop and I are best friends. And then the Lord tells Bishop, I got a little bit more for you to do. Bishop has to be careful that he doesn't hold on to me when God told him, I got more for you, more. Did he preach and sing about more? See, when God has more for you, he may not have more for your best friend, not at that time. It may not be their season. It might just be your season. But if Bishop is so connected to me that he can't leave me for the more, he misses his breakthrough. God is not going to pull it by his hair. He's not going to pull it by his tie, because he told Bishop, come on, Bishop, come on, Bishop, I got something for you. It's better. No, I love Harper. I got to stay with Harper. You can't stay with Harper. Your breakthrough is separate from Harper. It's a separate dimension. It's a separate elevation. So Judas and Silas understood at this time, we've got a breakthrough that's separate from all the other apostles. God is about to do something with us that's different. It doesn't make us better than them, but it makes us different than they are. Some of you are different than everybody else you hanging around. Your anointing is different. I wish somebody would catch on to the word today. Your anointing is different. The gifts that you have gotten, the talents that you have, the ability that you have, the way mind, the way God has crafted your heart, the way God has crafted your attitude. He has made you unique from the people who are around you. And so for you to go to the next level, your gifts won't be released till you get to that level. And so if you keep holding on to them, you won't see the next set of gifts. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. When you were saved, you got one set of gifts. But at the next level, there's another set of gifts. But you got to let go of Haynes. You got to let go of Camp. You got to let go of Mackie. There's another level. There's another set of gifts.
Hallelujah. 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 All right.
So Judas and Silas,
yes,
they understood there's another level of gifts for us. So they told them, bye-bye. We love you, but we gotta go now.
Right.
So they're not done. God is not. See, when God starts working in the church, this is what I wish churches would understand. See, if we would stop competing with each other once we understand how God works. God has so much knowledge. He has so many abilities. He has so much talent. He has so many skills. He has so much work to do. What he wants to do is he wants to find a church where there is no jealousy, where there is no envy, where there is no competition. The Bible says, nothing was said to please Silas to abide there still. And then Paul and Barnabas come along. And they continue in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. But some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us again go and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God. Now, Saul was trying to take Barnabas. Yeah. can't take everybody with you. There's some people who went with you last year, they're not supposed to go with you this year. There's some friends you had in 2012, you're hanging on to them in 2013, they're dead weight now. In 2012, they were a blessing. This year, they're not doing you any good. He tried to take you with him. Saul felt an urge. Saul felt an unction in the spirit to move on. But he said, come on, Barnabas, it's me and you. It's always been me and you. God said, not this time. The Bible says, now see what God will do is he'll create, see, what we see as division. This is another thing I've learned in the house of God. What we see as division sometimes is God's will. God needed Saul to get away from Barnabas. He needed Paul to get away from Barnabas. It's not that Barnabas was holding him back. It's just that once Paul got out there by himself, he did it differently.
Yeah. Right. Right.
When you release yourself from those people, you're going to be different.
Man. Come on now.
See, it wasn't, I want y'all to understand, it wasn't that Paul wasn't going to be the same person, but the set of gifts that he relied on would be different when Barnabas wasn't around anymore. See, when, ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. See, when, stand up for me one moment, Bishop. See, when Bishop was with me, when I get in trouble, I'm always looking at Bishop. When I get in trouble, I call Bishop. But God said, I'm going to take Bishop away because I need you to look to him. God help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to set Bishop down because I want to change your relationship. I don't want you calling on Bishop anymore. I want you to call on God the Most High.
Hallelujah.
So Paul, Barnabas, the Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose name was Mark. And Paul said, paraphrasing, we can't bring Mark. Because the last time we had Mark out there, Mark wasn't reliable. See what I'm saying? See, folks in the church gotta understand, when you're serious, you can't rely on unreliable people.
That's right.
Yes.
When you're serious about your breakthrough, it's not personal, but I can't rely on you if you let me down last time. If we were praying and I looked up and you stopped praying, I can't go for praying with you anymore. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If we were fasting and I saw you eating in the restaurant, I can't count on you anymore. If you were supposed to be living holy and I found out you weren't living holy, I can't count on you anymore. God gotta send me somebody else. It's not personal. I need my breakthrough. Paul said, listen, I love Mark, but he's not reliable, and I need a breakthrough. Y'all know what I'm saying? When you need a breakthrough, you got to take the best. When you need a breakthrough, you can't. Somebody say, oh, well, he's a good man. I don't care how good he is, does he have some power? See what I'm saying? I don't care whether folks are saved or not. Being saved is not sufficient when you need a breakthrough. Speaking in tongues is not sufficient when you need a breakthrough. When you need a breakthrough, you need somebody who got anointing. When you need a breakthrough, you need somebody who can wrestle with God. When you need a breakthrough, you need somebody who will fight through the enemy. When you need a breakthrough, you need somebody who's not going to stop, but who's not going to quit, but who's going to press their way, who will crawl to get to it, who will fight to get with it, who will wrestle to get with it, who's not going to let anything stop them from getting their breakthrough. Paul said, if you want to take Mark, then I can't go with you. Because I want y'all to understand, saints, when this thing gets deep and the devil starts fighting, you don't need any people who are fearful. I want you to understand that. When this thing gets deep, I'm not talking about, like I said this morning, I'm not talking about when you have a little headache and you can just take some Advil. But I'm talking about when you have those migraines that keep you up night after night. I'm talking about when you're in pain and misery, and you need somebody who can help you break through. Yeah. You can't bring the weak folk with you. You can't bring the folks who don't know how to fight the devil. You can't bring the folks who don't understand the wiles of the enemy. You can't bring the folks who stop coming to church because things don't go right. You can't bring the folks who won't pay their tithes. You can't bring the folks who are disobedient. You can't bring the folks who got a bad attitude. You can't
tolerate. You need somebody who is obedient. You need somebody who is giving up, who is sold out, somebody who will deliver, because the line is on the line.
I'm almost done. But God's got a word for somebody about these levels. So that's where I'm going to finish. There's somebody in here tonight, you have gifts that have not been realized because the gifts are at the next level. See, the gifts wait on you. See, God has already given us every gift we ever need. The gifts wait on me. They wait on me to get to that level where they can manifest themselves. There are some of you, your gift is already there. Now you gotta get to the level. Your gift is already there. You don't have to even pray for the gift anymore. Thomas said, you don't have to pray for it. It's already there. The Lord is waiting for you to get to the level where the gift can manifest itself. But in order for the gift to manifest itself, you gotta be willing to let go of the things that are at the current. That's the hard part. Can I let go of what I have? Believe me, what's to come is greater. Greater is coming. See, greater is coming. But the only way you're going to get the greater, you got to be willing to let go of the now. You can only get the greater if you let go of the now. The gifts are already at the level, but you got to let go of the now. You got to let go of some people. Yeah. That's the hardest thing human beings do, is let go of people. The reason why we can't let go of people is because we don't believe God. Let me say that again. The reason why human beings can't let go of people is because they don't believe God. I can't let Hayes go if I don't believe God. Because Hayes is my God. See what I'm saying? He's the one who I'm born to. I'm saying I'm holding on to Jesus, but I'm really holding on to him. But when I let him go, that's when I have to count on God. See, Peter had to count on God once he got on the water. God, we hope he goes. As long as he was on the land, he was counting on the land. But once he got on the water, he had to count on God. God be somebody that he needs you to step out on the water. The water takes you to your next level.
Amen.
The water takes you to your next level. Somebody said, well, Peter, didn't he sink? But he sunk on his next level. Help me, Holy Ghost. I wish somebody would get that. He sunk, but he was already at the next level when he sunk. See, some of us, you're going to sink, but you're going to sink at your next level. Amen. You're going to mess up, but you're going to be at your next level. It's already going to mess up at the next level. You're going to mess up at the next level to get to the next level. See, a lot of us are fearful of failure.
Amen.
Every level you go to, brother, there's failure.
Yes, it is.
That's how you get to the next level. Amen. See, Peter had to fail at that level to get to the next level. So when you get to another level, you're going to have failure. Don't be afraid of failure. That's how God teaches us through failure. That's how God strengthens us through failure. That's how God humbles us through failure. But he was already at the next level. Tonight, somebody, the Lord is saying next level. Tonight, the Lord is saying to somebody specifically, next level. Next level, next set of gifts. Next level, next set of gifts. There's a whole other set of gifts you haven't even experienced yet. There's some stuff you think, man, I'm doing something you haven't even seen yet what God is going to do with you. At the next level. It's a next level. I'm going to pray if you don't mind, Pastor Kevin. I don't believe in a lot of holding hands and touching hands. I just believe in the power of God. But if you want prayer, just come. I'm not going to pray for you. But if you want prayer, just stand here. And I'm just going to pray for you from the altar. All right? I'm not going to be Pastor Cam Church. I let them do all that stuff. But I believe tonight somebody needs prayer that you can execute what God has told you to do tonight. And that's what I'm going to pray, that you will have the power to execute what God has given you tonight. The instructions God has given you. Just come and stand right here in this aisle. You will have the power to execute what God has given you tonight. That you will have the power to execute what God has given you tonight. Already prophesied. I'm just going to